A Faint Heart, written by Fyodor Dostoevsky. Under the same roof, in the same flat, on the same fourth story, lived two young men, colleagues in the service, Arkady Ivanovich Nefedievich and Vasya Shumkov. The author, of course, feels the necessity of explaining to the listener why one is given his full title while the other's name is abbreviated, if only that such a mode of expression may not be regarded as unseemly and rather familiar. But to do so, it would first be necessary to explain and describe the rank and years and calling and duty in the service, and even, indeed, the characters of the persons concerned. And since there are so many writers who begin in that way, the author of the proposed story, solely in order to be unlike them, that is, some people will perhaps say, entirely on account of his boundless vanity, decides to begin straight away with action. Having completed this introduction, he begins. Towards 6 o'clock on New Year's Eve, Shumkov returned home. Arkady Ivanovich, who was lying on the bed, woke up and looked at his friend with half-closed eyes. He saw that Vasya had on his very best trousers and a very clean shirt front. That, of course, struck him. Where had Vasya to go like that? And he had not dined at home, either. Meanwhile, Shumkov had lighted a candle, and Arkady Ivanovich guessed immediately that his friend was intending to wake him accidentally. Vasya did, in fact, clear his throat twice, walked twice up and down the room, and at last, quite accidentally, let the pipe, which he had begun filling in the corner by the stove, slip out of his hands. Arkady Ivanovich laughed to himself. "Vasya, give over pretending," he said. "Arkasha, you are not asleep." "I really cannot say for certain. It seems to me I am not." "Oh, Arkasha, how are you, dear boy? Well, brother, well, brother. You don't know what I have to tell you."
"I certainly don't know. Come here."
As though expecting this, Vasya went up to him at once, not at all anticipating, however, treachery from Arkady Ivanovich. The other seized him very adroitly by the arms, turned him over, held him down, and began, as it is called, strangling his victim, and apparently this proceeding afforded the light-hearted Arkady Ivanovich great satisfaction.
"Caught!" he cried. "Caught!"
"Arkasha! Arkasha! What are you about? Let me go! For goodness sake, let me go! I shall crumple my dress coat!"
"As though that mattered! What do you want with a dress coat?
Why were you so confiding as to put yourself in my hands? Tell me, where have you been? Where have you dined?"
"Arkasha, for goodness sake, let me go!"
"Where have you dined?"
"Why, it's about that I want to tell you."
"Tell away, then."
"But first let me go."
"Not a bit of it. I won't let you go till you tell me."
"Arkasha! Arkasha! But do you understand? I can't. It's utterly impossible," cried Vasya, helplessly wriggling out of his friend's powerful clutches. "You know there are subjects."
"How subjects?"
"Why, subjects that you can't talk about in such a position without losing your dignity. It's utterly impossible. It would make it ridiculous, and this is not a ridiculous matter. It is important."
"Yeah, he's going in for being important. That's a new idea." "You tell me so as to make me laugh. That's how you must tell me. I don't want anything important, or else you are no true friend of mine. Do you call yourself a friend, eh?"
"Arkasha, I really can't."
"Well, I don't want to hear."
"Well, Arkasha,"
began Vasya, lying across the bed and doing his utmost to put all the dignity possible into his words.
"Arkasha, if you like, I will tell you. Only..."
"Well, what?"
"Well, I am engaged to be married."
Without uttering another word, Arkady Ivanovich took Vasya up in his arms like a baby, though the latter was by no means short, but rather long and thin, and began dexterously carrying him up and down the room, pretending that he was hushing him to sleep.
"I'll put you in your swaddling clothes, Master Bridegroom," he kept saying, but seeing that Vasha lay in his arms, not stirring or uttering a word, he thought better of it at once, and reflecting that the joke had gone too far, set him down in the middle of the room and kissed him on the cheek in the most genuine and friendly way. "Vasha, you are not angry. Arkasha, listen. Come, it's New Year's Eve." "Oh, I'm all right. But why are you such a madman? Such a scatterbrain? How many times have I told you, Arkasha? It's really not funny. Not funny at all."
"Oh, well, you are not angry?"
"Oh, I'm all right. Am I ever angry with anyone? But you have wounded me. Do you understand?"
"But how have I wounded you? In what way?"
"I come to you as a friend, with a full heart, to pour out my soul to you, to tell you of my happiness."
"What happiness? Why don't you speak?"
"Oh, well, I am going to get married," Vasha answered with vexation, for he really was a little exasperated.
"You? You are going to get married? So you really mean it?" Arkasha cried at the top of his voice.
"No, no, but what's this? He talks like this, and his tears are flowing.
Vasha, my little Vasha, don't, my little son! Is it true, really?"
And Arkady Ivanovitch flew to hug him again.
"Well, do you see how it is now?" said Vasha.
"You are kind, of course. You are a friend, I know that. I come to you with such joy, such rapture, and all of a sudden I have to disclose all the joy of my heart, all my rapture, struggling across the bed in an undignified way. You understand, Arkasha?" Vasha went on, half laughing.
"You see, it made it seem comic, and in a sense I did not belong to myself at that moment. I could not let this be slighted. What's more, if you had asked me her name, I swear I would sooner you killed me than have answered you."
"But, Vasha, why did you not speak?
You should have told me all about it sooner, and I would not have played the fool," cried Arkady Ivanovitch in genuine despair.
"Come, that's enough. That's enough. Of course that's how it is. You know what? It all comes from my having a good heart. What vexes me is that I could not tell you as I wanted to, making you glad and happy, telling you nicely and initiating you into my secret properly. Really, Arkasha, I love you so much that I believe if it were not for you, I shouldn't be getting married, and in fact, I shouldn't be living in this world at all."
Arkady Ivanovitch, who was excessively sentimental, cried and laughed at once as he listened to Vasha. Vasha did the same. Both flew to embrace one another again and forgot the past.
"How is it? How is it? Tell me all about it, Vasha. I am astonished. Excuse me, brother, but I am utterly astonished. It's a perfect thunderbolt, by Jove."
"Nonsense. Nonsense, brother. You have made it up. You've really made it up. You are telling fibs," cried Arkady Ivanovitch,
and he actually looked into Vasha's face with genuine uncertainty, but seeing in it the radiant confirmation of a positive intention of being married as soon as possible, threw himself on the bed and began rolling from side to side in ecstasy till the walls shook.
"Vasha, sit here," he said at last, sitting down on the bed. "I really don't know, brother, where to begin."
They looked at one another in joyful excitement.
"Who is she, Vasha?"
"The Artemyevs,"
Vasya pronounced in a voice weak with emotion.
"No?
Well, I did buzz into your ears about them at first, and then I shut up, and you noticed nothing. Ah, Arkasha, if you knew how hard it was to keep it from you. But I was afraid, afraid to speak. I thought it would all go wrong, and you would know I was in love, Arkasha. My God, you see, this was the trouble,"
he began, pausing continually from agitation.
"She had a suitor a year ago, but he was suddenly ordered somewhere. I knew him. He was a fellow, bless him. Well, he did not write at all. He simply vanished. They waited and waited, wondering what it meant. 4 months ago, he suddenly came back married, and never set foot within their doors. It was coarse, shabby, and they had no one to stand up for them. She cried and cried, poor girl, and I fell in love with her. Indeed, I had been in love with her long before, all the time. I began comforting her and was always going there. Well, and really, I don't know how it has all come about, only she came to love me. A week ago, I could not restrain myself. I cried, I sobbed, and told her everything. Well, that I love her everything, in fact. I am ready to love you too, Vasily Petrovich, only I am a poor girl. Don't make a mock of me. I don't dare to love anyone. Well, brother, you understand. You understand? On that we got engaged on the spot. I kept thinking and thinking and thinking and thinking. I said to her, "How are we to tell your mother?" She said, "It will be hard. Wait a little. She's afraid. And now maybe she would not let you have me. She keeps crying too." Without telling her, I blurted it out to her mother today. Lizanka fell on her knees before her. I did the same. Well, she gave us her blessing. "Arkasha, Arkasha, my dear fellow, we will live together. No, I won't part from you for anything."
"Vasya, look at you as I may, I can't believe it. I don't believe it, I swear. I keep feeling as though... Listen, how can you be engaged to be married? How is it I didn't know, eh? Do you know, Vasya? I will confess it to you now. I was thinking of getting married myself. But now, since you are going to be married, it is just as good. Be happy. Be happy."
"Brother, I feel so light-hearted now. There is such sweetness in my soul," said Vasya, getting up and pacing about the room excitedly. "Don't you feel the same? We shall be poor, of course, but we shall be happy. And you know, it is not a wild fancy. Our happiness is not a fairy tale. We shall be happy in reality."
"Vasya, Vasya, listen."
"What?"
said Vasya, standing before Arkady Ivanovich. "The idea occurs to me. I am really afraid to say it to you. Forgive me and settle my doubts. What are you going to live on? You know I am delighted that you are going to be married, of course. I am delighted, and I don't know what to do with myself. But what are you going to live on, eh?"
"Oh, good heavens! What a fellow you are, Arkasha!"
said Vasya, looking at Nifedivitch in profound astonishment.
"What do you mean? Even her old mother, even she did not think of that for 2 minutes when I put all clearly before her. You had better ask what they are living on. They have 500 rubles a year between the three of them. The pension, which is all they have since the father died. She and her old mother and her little brother, whose schooling is paid for out of that income too. That is how they live. It's you and I are the capitalists. Some good years it works out to as much as 700 for me."
"I say, Vasya, excuse me. I really... You know, I am only thinking how to prevent things going wrong. How do you mean 700? It's only 300.
300? And Yulian Mastakovich? Have you forgotten him?"
"Yulian Mastakovich? But you know that's uncertain, brother. That's not the same thing as 300 rubles of secure salary, where every ruble is a friend you can trust. Yulian Mastakovich, of course, he's a great man. In fact, I respect him, I understand him, though he is so far above us. And by Jove, I love him because he likes you, and gives you something for your work, though he might not pay you, but simply order a clerk to work for him. But you will agree, Vasya. Let me tell you, too, I am not talking nonsense. I admit in all Petersburg you won't find a handwriting like your handwriting. I am ready to allow that to you," Nifedivitch concluded, not without enthusiasm. "But God forbid! You may displease him all at once. You may not satisfy him. Your work with him may stop. He may take another clerk. All sorts of things may happen, in fact.
You know Yulian Mastakovich may be here today and gone tomorrow.
Well, Arkasha, the ceiling might fall on our heads this minute.
Oh, of course, of course, I mean nothing.
But listen, hear what I have got to say, you know? I don't see how he can part with me.
No, hear what I have to say, hear what I have to say.
You see, I perform all my duties punctually. You know how kind he is. You know, Arkasha, he gave me 50 rubles in silver yesterday.
Did he really, Vasha? A bonus for you.
Bonus indeed. It was out of his own pocket. He said, "Why, you have had no money for 5 months, brother. Take some if you want it."
Thank you. I am satisfied with you.
Yes, really. Yes, you don't work for me for nothing, said he.
He did indeed. That's what he said.
It brought tears into my eyes, Arkasha. Good heavens, yes.
I say, Vasha, have you finished copying those papers?
No, I haven't finished them yet.
Vasha, my angel, what have you been doing?
Listen, Arkasha, it doesn't matter. They are not wanted for another 2 days. I have time enough.
How is it you have not done them?
That's all right, that's all right. You look so horror-stricken that you turn me inside out and make my heart ache. You are always going on at me like this. He's forever crying out, "Oh, oh, oh, only consider, what does it matter?" Why, I shall finish it. Of course I shall finish it.
"What if you don't finish it?" cried Arkady, jumping up. "And he has made you a present today. And you going to be married. Tut, tut, tut."
"It's all right, it's all right," cried Shumkov. "I shall sit down directly. I shall sit down this minute."
"How did you come to leave it, Vasha?"
"Oh, Arkasha, how could I sit down to do work? Have I been in a fit state? Why, even at the office I could scarcely sit still. I could scarcely bear the beating of my heart. Oh, oh, now, I shall work all night, and I shall work all tomorrow night, and the night after too. I shall finish it."
"Is there a great deal left?"
"Don't hinder me, for goodness sake. Don't hinder me. Hold your tongue."
Arkady Ivanovitch went on tiptoe to the bed and sat down, then suddenly wanted to get up, but was obliged to sit down again, remembering that he might interrupt him, though he could not sit still for excitement. It was evident that the news had thoroughly upset him, and the first thrill of delight had not yet passed off. He glanced at Shumkov. The latter glanced at him, smiled, and shook his finger at him. Then, frowning severely, as though all his energy and the success of his work depended upon it, fixed his eyes on the papers. It seemed that he, too, could not yet master his emotion. He kept changing his pen, fidgeting in his chair, rearranging things, and setting to work again. But his hand trembled and refused to move.
"Arkasha, I've talked to them about you," he cried suddenly, as though he had just remembered it.
"Yes," cried Arkasha, "I was just wanting to ask you that."
"Well?" "Well, I'll tell you everything afterwards. Of course it was my own fault, but it quite went out of my head that I didn't mean to say anything till I had written 4 pages. But I thought of you and of them. I really can't write, brother. I keep thinking about you."
Vasha smiled. A silence followed.
"Phew! What a horrid pen!" cried Shumkov, flinging it on the table in vexation.
He took another.
"Vasha, listen. One word.
Well, make haste, and for the last time.
Have you a great deal left to do?"
"Ah, brother."
Vasha frowned, as though there could be nothing more terrible and murderous in the whole world than such a question.
"A lot. A fearful lot.
Do you know? I have an idea."
"What?"
"Oh, never mind. Never mind. Go on writing."
"Why? What? What?"
"It's past 6, Vasha."
Here, Nefedevich smiled and winked slyly at Vasha, though with a certain timidity, not knowing how Vasha would take it.
"Well, what is it?"
cried Vasha, throwing down his pen, looking him straight in the face and actually turning pale with excitement. "Do you know what?"
"For goodness sake, what is it?"
"I tell you what, you are excited. You won't get much done. Stop, stop, stop. I have it. I have it. Listen," said Nefedevich, jumping up from the bed in delight, preventing Vasya from speaking and doing his utmost to ward off all objections. "First of all, you must get calm. You must pull yourself together, mustn't you?"
"Arkasha! Arkasha!" cried Vasya, jumping up from his chair. "I will work all night. I will, really."
"Of course, of course. You won't go to bed till morning."
"I won't go to bed. I won't go to bed at all."
"No, that won't do. That won't do. You must sleep. Go to bed at 5. I will call you at 8. Tomorrow is a holiday. You can sit and scribble away all day long. Then the night and... But have you a great deal left to do?"
"Yes, look, look."
Vasya, quivering with excitement and suspense, showed the manuscript.
"Look."
"I say, brother, that's not much."
"My dear fellow, there's some more of it," said Vasya,
looking very timidly at Nefedevich, as though the decision whether he was to go or not depended upon the latter.
"How much?"
"2 signatures."
"Well? What's that?"
"Come, I tell you what, we shall have time to finish it."
"By Jove, we shall!"
"Arkasha!"
"Vasya, listen. Tonight, on New Year's Eve, everyone is at home with his family. You and I are the only ones without a home or relations."
"Oh, Vasya!"
Nefedevich clutched Vasya and hugged him in his leonine arms.
"Arkasha, it's settled."
"Vasya, boy, I only wanted to say this. You see, Vasya, listen, bandy legs, listen."
Arkady stopped, with his mouth open, because he could not speak for delight. Vasya held him by the shoulders, gazed into his face, and moved his lips as though he wanted to speak for him.
"Well," he brought out at last, "introduced me to them today."
"Arkady, let us go to tea there. I tell you what, I tell you what, we won't even stay to see in the new year. We'll come away earlier," cried Vasya with genuine inspiration.
"That is, we'll go for 2 hours, neither more nor less,
and then separation till I have finished."
"Vasya, boy."
"Arkady."
3 minutes later, Arkady was dressed in his best. Vasya did nothing but brush himself, because he had been in such haste to work that he had not changed his trousers. They hurried out into the street, each more pleased than the other. Their way lay from the St. Petersburg side to Kolomna. Arkady Ivanovich stepped out boldly and vigorously, so that from his walk alone one could see how glad he was at the good fortune of his friend, who was more and more radiant with happiness. Vasya trotted along with shorter steps, though his deportment was nonetheless dignified. Arkady Ivanovich, in fact, had never seen him before to such advantage. At that moment, he actually felt more respect for him, and Vasya's physical defect, of which the listener is not yet aware, Vasya was slightly deformed, which always called forth a feeling of loving sympathy in Arkady Ivanovich's kind heart, contributed to the deep tenderness the latter felt for him at this moment, a tenderness of which Vasya was in every way worthy. Arkady Ivanovich felt ready to weep with happiness, but he restrained himself.
"Where are you going? Where are you going, Vasya?"
"It is nearer this way," he cried, seeing that Vasya was making in the direction of Voznesensky.
"Hold your tongue, Arkasha."
"It really is nearer, Vasya."
"Do you know what, Arkasha?"
Vasya began mysteriously, in a voice quivering with joy.
"I tell you what, I want to take Lizanka a little present."
"What sort of present?"
"At the corner here, brother, is Madame Leroux's, a wonderful shop."
"Well?"
"A cap, my dear, a cap. I saw such a charming little cap today. I inquired,
I was told it was the Fagon Manon Lescaut, a delightful thing. Cherry-coloured ribbons, and if it is not dear, Arkasha, even if it is dear,
I think you are superior to any of the poets, Vasha. Come along.
They ran along, and 2 minutes later went into the shop. They were met by a black-eyed Frenchwoman with curls, who, from the first glance at her customers, became as joyous and happy as they, even happier, if one may say so. Vasha was ready to kiss Madame Leroux in his delight.
Arkasha,
he said in an undertone, casting a casual glance at all the grand and beautiful things on the little wooden stands on the huge table.
Lovely things! What's that? What's this? This one, for instance, this little sweet, do you see?
Vasha whispered, pointing to a charming cap further away, which was not the one he meant to buy, because he had already from afar descried and fixed his eyes upon the real famous one standing at the other end. He looked at it in such a way that one might have supposed someone was going to steal it, or as though the cap itself might take wings and fly into the air just to prevent Vasha from obtaining it.
Look, said Arkady Ivanovitch, pointing to one. I think that's better.
Well, Arkasha, that does you credit, and I begin to respect you for your taste, said Vasha, resorting to cunning with Arkasha in the tenderness of his heart. Your cap is charming, but come this way.
Where is there a better one, brother?
Look, this way.
That, said Arkady doubtfully.
But when Vasha, incapable of restraining himself any longer, took it from the stand, from which it seemed to fly spontaneously, as though delighted at falling at last into the hands of so good a customer, and they heard the rustle of its ribbons, ruches, and lace, an unexpected cry of delight broke from the powerful chest of Arkady Ivanovitch. Even Madame Leroux, while maintaining her incontestable dignity and preeminence in matters of taste, and remaining mute from condescension, rewarded Vasha with a smile of complete approbation, everything in her glance, gesture, and smile saying at once,
"Yes, you have chosen rightly, and are worthy of the happiness which awaits you."
"It has been dangling its charms in coy seclusion," cried Vasha, transferring his tender feelings to the charming cap. "You have been hiding it on purpose, you sly little pet."
And he kissed it, that is, the air surrounding it, for he was afraid to touch his treasure.
"Retiring as true worth and virtue," Arkady added enthusiastically, quoting humorously from a comic paper he had read that morning. "Well, Vasha?"
"Hurry, Arkasha. You are witty today. I predict you will make a sensation, as women say. Madame Leroux, Madame Leroux."
"What is your pleasure?"
"Dear Madame Leroux."
Madame Leroux looked at Arkady Ivanovitch and smiled condescendingly.
"You wouldn't believe how much I adore you at this moment. Allow me to give you a kiss."
And Vasha kissed the shopkeeper. She certainly at that moment needed all her dignity to maintain her position with such a madcap, but I contend that the innate, spontaneous courtesy and grace with which Madame Leroux received Vasha's enthusiasm was equally befitting. She forgave him, and how tactfully, how graciously she knew how to behave in the circumstances. How could she have been angry with Vasha?
"Madame Leroux, how much?"
5 roubles in silver," she answered, straightening herself with a new smile. "And this one, Madame Leroux?" said Arkady Ivanovitch, pointing to his choice.
"That one is 8 roubles.
"There, you see, you see? Come, Madame Leroux, tell me which is nicer, more graceful, more charming. Which of them suits you best?"
"The second is richer, but your choice, c'est plus coquet." "Then we will take it."
Madame Leroux took a sheet of very delicate paper, pinned it up, and the paper with the cap wrapped in it seemed even lighter than the paper alone. Vasha took it carefully, almost holding his breath, bowed to Madame Leroux, said something else very polite to her, and left the shop. I am a lady's man. I was born to be a lady's man, said Vasha, laughing a little noiseless, nervous laugh, and dodging the passers-by whom he suspected of designs for crushing his precious cap. Listen, Arkady, brother, he began a minute later, and there was a note of triumph, of infinite affection in his voice. Arkady, I am so happy. I am so happy. Vasha, how glad I am, dear boy. No, Arkasha, no. I know that there is no limit to your affection for me, but you cannot be feeling 100th part of what I am feeling at this moment. My heart is so full, so full. Arkasha, I am not worthy of such happiness. I feel that I am conscious of it. Why has it come to me? He said, his voice full of stifled sobs. What have I done to deserve it? Tell me. Look, what lots of people, what lots of tears, what sorrow, what workaday life without a holiday. While I am loved by a girl like that. But you will see her yourself immediately. You will appreciate her noble heart. I was born in a humble station. Now I have a grade in the service and an independent income, my salary. I was born with a physical defect. I am a little deformed. See, she loves me as I am. Yulian Mastakovich was so kind, so attentive, so gracious today. He does not often talk to me. He came up to me. Well, how goes it, Vasha? Yes, really, he called me Vasha. Are you going to have a good time for the holiday, eh? He laughed. Well, the fact is, Your Excellency, I have work to do. But then I plucked up courage and said, And maybe I shall have a good time too, Your Excellency. I really said it. He gave me the money on the spot. Then he said a couple of words more to me. Tears came into my eyes, brother. I actually cried, and he too seemed touched. He patted me on the shoulder and said, Feel always, Vasha, as you feel this now. Vasha paused for an instant. Arkady Ivanovich turned away, and he too wiped away a tear with his fist. And, Vasha went on, I have never spoken to you of this, Arkady. Arkady, you make me so happy with your affection. Without you I could not live. No, no, don't say anything. Arkady, let me squeeze your hand. Let me thank you. Again, Vasha could not finish. Arkady Ivanovich longed to throw himself on Vasha's neck, but as they were crossing the road and heard almost in their ears a shrill, Hi there! They ran, frightened and excited, to the pavement. Arkady Ivanovich was positively relieved. He set down Vasha's outburst of gratitude to the exceptional circumstances of the moment. He was vexed. He felt that he had done so little for Vasha hitherto. He felt actually ashamed of himself when Vasha began thanking him for so little. But they had all their lives before them, and Arkady Ivanovich breathed more freely. The Artemyevs had quite given up expecting them. The proof of it was that they had already sat down to tea, and the old, it seems, are sometimes more clear-sighted than the young, even when the young are so exceptional. Lizanka had very earnestly maintained, He isn't coming. He isn't coming, Mama. I feel in my heart he is not coming. While her mother, on the contrary, declared that she had a feeling that he would certainly come, that he would not stay away, that he would run round, that he could have no office work now on New Year's Eve. Even as Lizanka opened the door, she did not in the least expect to see them, and greeted them breathlessly, with her heart throbbing like a captured bird's, flushing and turning as red as a cherry, a fruit which she wonderfully resembled. Good heavens! What a surprise it was! What a joyful, Oh! broke from her lips. Deceiver! My darling! She cried, throwing her arms round Vasha's neck. But imagine her amazement, her sudden confusion.
Just behind Vasha, as though trying to hide behind his back, stood Arkady Ivanovitch, a trifle out of countenance. It must be admitted that he was awkward in the company of women, very awkward indeed. In fact, on one occasion something occurred, but of that later. You must put yourself in his place, however. There was nothing to laugh at. He was standing in the entry in his galoshes and overcoat, and in a cap with flaps over the ears, which he would have hastened to pull off, but he had, all twisted round in a hideous way, a yellow knitted scarf, which, to make things worse, was knotted at the back. He had to disentangle all this, to take it off as quickly as possible, to show himself to more advantage, for there is no one who does not prefer to show himself to advantage. And then Vasha, vexatious, insufferable Vasha, of course, always the same dear kind Vasha, but now insufferable, ruthless Vasha.
"Here," he shouted, "Lizanka, I have brought you my Arkady. What do you think of him? He is my best friend. Embrace him, kiss him, Lizanka, give him a kiss in advance. Afterwards you will know him better, you can take it back again."
"Well, what, I ask you, was Arkady Ivanovitch to do? And he had only untwisted half of the scarf so far. I really am sometimes ashamed of Vasha's excess of enthusiasm. It is, of course, the sign of a good heart, but it's awkward, not nice." At last both went in. The mother was unutterably delighted to make Arkady Ivanovitch's acquaintance. She had heard so much about him, she had. But she did not finish. A joyful, "Oh!" ringing musically through the room interrupted her in the middle of a sentence. Good heavens! Lizanka was standing before the cap, which had suddenly been unfolded before her gaze. She clasped her hands with the utmost simplicity, smiling such a smile. Oh, heavens! Why had not Madame Leroux an even lovelier cap? Oh, heavens! But where could you find a lovelier cap? It was quite first-rate. Where could you get a better one? I mean it seriously. This ingratitude on the part of lovers moves me, in fact, to indignation, and even wounds me a little. Why, look at it for yourself, listener. Look, what could be more beautiful than this little love of a cap? Come, look at it. But no, no, my strictures are uncalled for. They had by now all agreed with me. It had been a momentary aberration. The blindness, the delirium of feeling. I am ready to forgive them. But then you must look. You must excuse me, kind listener. I am still talking about the cap. Made of tulle, light as a feather, a broad cherry-coloured ribbon covered with lace passing between the tulle and the ruche. And at the back, two wide long ribbons. They would fall down a little below the nape of the neck. All that the cap needed was to be tilted a little to the back of the head. Come, look at it. I ask you, after that... But I see you are not looking. You think it does not matter. You were looking in a different direction. You were looking at two big tears, big as pearls, that rose in two jet-black eyes, quivering for one instant on the eyelashes, and then dropped on the ethereal tulle of which Madame Leroux's artistic masterpiece was composed. And again I feel vexed. Those two tears were scarcely a tribute to the cap. No, to my mind such a gift should be given in cold blood, as only then can its full worth be appreciated. I am, I confess, dear listener, entirely on the side of the cap. They sat down, Vasha with Lizanka, and the old mother with Arkady Ivanovitch. They began to talk, and Arkady Ivanovitch did himself credit, I am glad to say that for him. One would hardly indeed have expected it of him. After a couple of words about Vasha, he most successfully turned the conversation to Yulian Mastakovich, his patron, and he talked so cleverly that the subject was not exhausted for an hour. You ought to have seen with what dexterity, what tact, Arkady Ivanovitch touched upon certain peculiarities of Yulian Mastakovich, which directly or indirectly affected Vasha. The mother was fascinated,
genuinely fascinated. She admitted it herself. She purposely called Vasha aside and said to him that his friend was a most excellent and charming young man, and, what was of most account, such a serious, steady young man. Vasha almost laughed aloud with delight. He remembered how the serious Arkady had tumbled him on his bed for a quarter of an hour. Then the mother signed to Vasha to follow her quietly and cautiously into the next room. It must be admitted that she treated Lizanka rather unfairly. She behaved treacherously to her daughter. In the fullness of her heart, of course, she showed Vasha on the sly the present Lizanka was preparing to give him for the new year. It was a paper case, embroidered in beads and gold, in a very choice design. On one side was depicted a stag, absolutely lifelike, running swiftly, and so well done. On the other side was the portrait of a celebrated general, also with an excellent likeness. I cannot describe Vasha's raptures. Meanwhile, time was not being wasted in the parlour. Lizanka went straight up to Arkady Ivanovitch. She took his hand. She thanked him for something, and Arkady Ivanovitch gathered that she was referring to her precious Vasha. Lizanka was indeed deeply touched. She had heard that Arkady Ivanovitch was such a true friend of her betrothed, so loved him, so watched over him, guiding him at every step with helpful advice, that she, Lizanka, could hardly help thanking him, could not refrain from feeling grateful, and hoping that Arkady Ivanovitch might like her, if only half as well as Vasha. Then she began questioning him as to whether Vasha was careful of his health, expressed some apprehensions in regard to his marked impulsiveness of character and his lack of knowledge of men and practical life. She said that she would in time watch over him religiously, that she would take care of and cherish his lot, and finally she hoped that Arkady Ivanovitch would not leave them, but would live with them. "We three shall live like one," she cried, with extremely naive enthusiasm. But it was time to go. They tried, of course, to keep them, but Vasha answered point-blank that it was impossible. Arkady Ivanovitch said the same. The reason was, of course, inquired into, and it came out at once that there was work to be done, entrusted to Vasha by Yulian Mastakovich, urgent, necessary, dreadful work, which must be handed in on the morning of the next day but one, and that it was not only unfinished, but had been completely laid aside. The mama sighed when she heard of this, while Lizanka was positively scared and hurried Vasha off in alarm. The last kiss lost nothing from this haste. Though brief and hurried, it was only the more warm and ardent. At last they parted, and the two friends set off home. Both began at once confiding to each other their impressions as soon as they found themselves in the street. And could they help it? Indeed, Arkady Ivanovitch was in love, desperately in love with Lizanka. And to whom could he better confide his feelings than to Vasha, the happy man himself? And so he did. He was not bashful, but confessed everything at once to Vasha. Vasha laughed heartily and was immensely delighted, and even observed that this was all that was needed to make them greater friends than ever. "You have guessed my feelings, Vasha," said Arkady Ivanovitch. "Yes, I love her as I love you. She will be my good angel as well as yours, for the radiance of your happiness will be shed on me too, and I can bask in its warmth. She will keep house for me too, Vasha. My happiness will be in her hands. Let her keep house for me as she will for you. Yes, friendship for you is friendship for her. You are not separable for me now. Only I shall have two beings like you instead of one." Arkady paused in the fullness of his feelings, while Vasha was shaken to the depths of his being by his friend's words. The fact is, he had never expected anything of the sort from Arkady. Arkady Ivanovitch was not very great at talking, as a rule. He was not fond of dreaming, either. Now he gave way to the liveliest, freshest, rainbow-tinted daydreams. "How I will protect and cherish you both," he began again. "To begin with, Vasha, I will be godfather to all your children, every one of them. And secondly, Vasha, we must bestir ourselves about the future. We must buy furniture and take a lodging so that you and she and I each have a little room to ourselves. Do you know, Vasha, I'll run about tomorrow and look at the notices on the gates. 2 rooms. We should not need more. I really believe, Vasha, I talked nonsense this morning. There will be money enough. Why, as soon as I glanced into her eyes, I calculated at once that there would be enough to live on. It will all be for her. Oh, how we will work! Now, Vasha, we might venture up to 25 rubles for rent. A lodging is everything, brother. Nice rooms, and at once a man is cheerful, and his dreams are of the brightest hues. And besides, Lizanka will keep the purse for both of us. Not a farthing will be wasted. Do you suppose I would go to a restaurant? What do you take me for? Not on any account. And then we shall get a bonus and reward, for we shall be zealous in the service. Oh, how we shall work, like oxen toiling in the fields. Only fancy. And Arkady Ivanovitch's voice was faint with pleasure. All at once, and quite unexpected, 25 or 30 rubles. Whenever there's an extra, there'll be a cap or a scarf or a pair of little stockings. She must knit me a scarf. Look what a horrid one I've got, the nasty yellow thing. It did me a bad turn today. And you wore a nice one, Vasha, to introduce me while I had my head in a halter. Though never mind that now. And look here, I undertake all the silver. I am bound to give you some little present. That will be an honour. That will flatter my vanity. My bonuses won't fail me, surely. You don't suppose they would give them to Skorohodov? No fear. They won't be landed in that person's pocket. I'll buy you silver spoons, brother. Good knives. Not silver knives, but thoroughly good ones. And a waistcoat. That is, a waistcoat for myself. I shall be best man, of course. Only now, brother, you must keep at it. You must keep at it. I shall stand over you with a stick, brother, today and tomorrow and all night. I shall worry you to work. Finish. Make haste and finish, brother. And then again to spend the evening, and then again both of us happy. We will go in for lotto. We will spend the evening there. Oh, it's jolly. Oh, the devil, how vexing it is. I can't help you. I should like to take it and write it all for you. Why is it our handwriting is not alike? Yes, answered Vasha. Yes, I must make haste. I think it must be 11 o'clock. We must make haste. To work. And saying this, Vasha, who had been all the time alternately smiling and trying to interrupt with some enthusiastic rejoinder the flow of his friend's feelings, and had, in short, been showing the most cordial response, suddenly subsided, sank into silence, and almost ran along the street. It seemed as though some burdensome idea had suddenly chilled his feverish head. He seemed all at once dispirited. Arkady Ivanovitch felt quite uneasy. He scarcely got an answer to his hurried questions from Vasha, who confined himself to a word or two, sometimes an irrelevant exclamation. "Why, what is the matter with you, Vasha?" he cried at last, hardly able to keep up with him. "Can you really be so uneasy?" "Oh, brother, that's enough chatter," Vasha answered with vexation. "Don't be depressed, Vasha. Come, come," Arkady interposed. "Why, I have known you write much more in a shorter time. What's the matter? You've simply a talent for it. You can write quickly in an emergency. They are not going to lithograph your copy. You've plenty of time. The only thing is that you are excited now and preoccupied, and the work won't go so easily." Vasha made no reply, or muttered something to himself, and they both ran home in genuine anxiety. Vasha sat down to the papers at once. Arkady Ivanovitch was quiet and silent. He noiselessly undressed and went to bed, keeping his eyes fixed on Vasha. A sort of panic came over him. "What is the matter with him?" he thought to himself, looking at Vasha's face that grew whiter and whiter,
at his feverish eyes, at the anxiety that was betrayed in every movement he made. Why, his hand is shaking. What a stupid... Why did I not advise him to sleep for a couple of hours, till he had slept off his nervous excitement anyway? Vasya had just finished a page. He raised his eyes, glanced casually at Arkady, and at once, looking down, took up his pen again.
"Listen, Vasya," Arkady Ivanovich began suddenly, "wouldn't it be best to sleep a little now? Look, you are in a regular fever."
Vasya glanced at Arkady with vexation, almost with anger, and made no answer.
"Listen, Vasya, you'll make yourself ill."
Vasya at once changed his mind. "How would it be to have tea, Arkady?" he said.
"How so? Why?"
"It will do me good. I'm not sleepy. I'm not going to bed. I'm going on writing. But now I should like to rest and have a cup of tea, and the worst moment will be over."
"First rate, brother Vasya. Delightful. Just so. I was wanting to propose it myself, and I can't think why it did not occur to me to do so. But I say, Mavra won't get up. She won't wake for anything."
"True."
"That's no matter, though," cried Arkady Ivanovich, leaping out of bed. "I will set the samovar myself. It won't be the first time."
Arkady Ivanovich ran to the kitchen and set to work to get the samovar. Vasya, meanwhile, went on writing. Arkady Ivanovich, moreover, dressed and ran out to the baker's so that Vasya might have something to sustain him for the night. A quarter of an hour later, the samovar was on the table. They began drinking tea, but conversation flagged. Vasya still seemed preoccupied.
"Tomorrow," he said at last, as though he had just thought of it, "I shall have to take my congratulations for the new year."
"You need not go at all."
"Oh, yes, brother, I must," said Vasya.
"Why, I will sign the visitor's book for you everywhere. How can you? You work tomorrow. You must work tonight, till 5 o'clock in the morning, as I said, and then get to bed, or else you will be good for nothing tomorrow. I will wake you at 8 o'clock punctually."
"But will it be all right? You're signing for me," said Vasya, half assenting.
"Why, what could be better? Everyone does it."
"I am really afraid."
"Why? Why?"
"It's all right, you know, with other people. But Yulian Mastakovich, he has been so kind to me, you know, Arkasha. And when he notices it's not my own signature..."
"Notices? Why, what a fellow you are, really, Vasya. How could he notice? Come, you know I can imitate your signature awfully well, and make just the same flourish to it. Upon my word I can. What nonsense! Who would notice?"
Vasya made no reply, but emptied his glass hurriedly. Then he shook his head doubtfully.
"Vasya, dear boy! Ah, if only we succeed! Vasya, what's the matter with you? You quite frighten me. Do you know, Vasya, I am not going to bed now. I am not going to sleep. Show me. Have you a great deal left?"
Vasya gave Arkady such a look that his heart sank and his tongue failed him.
"Vasya, what is the matter? What are you thinking? Why do you look like that?"
"Arkady, I really must go tomorrow to wish Yulian Mastakovich a happy new year."
"Well, go then," said Arkady, gazing at him open-eyed in uneasy expectation. "I say, Vasya, do write faster. I am advising you for your good, I really am. How often Yulian Mastakovich himself has said that what he likes particularly about your writing is its legibility. Why, it is all that Skoroplyhin cares for, that writing should be good and distinct like a copy, so as afterwards to pocket the paper and take it home for his children to copy. He can't buy copybooks, the blockhead. Yulian Mastakovich is always saying, always insisting, 'Legible, legible, legible.'
What is the matter? Vasya, I really don't know how to talk to you. It quite frightens me. You crush me with your depression."
It's all right, said Vasya.
and he fell back in his chair as though fainting. Arkady was alarmed.
"Will you have some water? Vasya! Vasya!"
"Don't! Don't!" said Vasya, pressing his hand. "I'm all right. I only feel sad. I can't tell why. Better talk of something else. Let me forget it."
"Calm yourself, for goodness sake, calm yourself, Vasya. You will finish it all right. On my honour, you will. And even if you don't finish, what will it matter? You talk as though it were a crime."
"Arkady," said Vasya, looking at his friend with such meaning that Arkady was quite frightened, for Vasya had never been so agitated before. "If I were alone as I used to be... No, I don't mean that. I keep wanting to tell you as a friend, to confide in you. But why worry you, though? You see, Arkady, to some much is given, others do a little thing, as I do. Well, if gratitude, appreciation is expected of you, and you can't give it..."
"Vasya, I don't understand you in the least."
"I have never been ungrateful,"
Vasya went on softly, as though speaking to himself.
"But if I am incapable of expressing all I feel, it seems as though... It seems, Arkady, as though I am really ungrateful, and that's killing me."
"What next? What next? As though gratitude meant nothing more than your finishing that copy in time? Just think what you are saying, Vasya. Is that the whole expression of gratitude?"
Vasya sank into silence at once, and looked open-eyed at Arkady, as though his unexpected argument had settled all his doubts. He even smiled, but the same melancholy expression came back to his face at once. Arkady, taking this smile as a sign that all his uneasiness was over, and the look that succeeded it as an indication that he was determined to do better, was greatly relieved.
"Well, Brother Arkasha, you will wake up," said Vasya. "Keep an eye on me. If I fall asleep, it will be dreadful. I'll set to work now."
"Arkasha?"
"What?"
"Oh, it's nothing. I meant..."
Vasya settled himself and said no more. Arkady got into bed. Neither of them said one word about their friends, the Artemyevs. Perhaps both of them felt that they had been a little to blame, and that they ought not to have gone for their jaunt when they did. Arkady soon fell asleep, still worried about Vasya. To his own surprise, he woke up exactly at 8 o'clock in the morning. Vasya was asleep in his chair with the pen in his hand, pale and exhausted. The candle had burnt out. Mavra was busy getting the samovar ready in the kitchen.
"Vasya! Vasya!" Arkady cried in alarm. "When did you fall asleep?"
Vasya opened his eyes and jumped up from his chair.
"Oh!" he cried. "I must have fallen asleep."
He flew to the papers. Everything was right. All were in order. There was not a blot of ink, nor spot of grease from the candle on them.
"I think I must have fallen asleep about 6 o'clock," said Vasya. "How cold it is in the night. Let us have tea, and I will go on again."
"Do you feel better?"
"Yes, yes, I'm all right. I'm all right now."
"A happy new year to you, Brother Vasya."
"And to you too, brother. The same to you, dear boy."
They embraced each other. Vasya's chin was quivering, and his eyes were moist. Arkady Ivanovich was silent. He felt sad. They drank their tea hastily.
"Arkady, I've made up my mind. I am going myself to Yulian Mastakovich."
"Why, he wouldn't notice.
But my conscience feels ill at ease, brother."
"But you know it's for his sake you are sitting here. It's for his sake you are wearing yourself out. Enough!"
"Do you know what, brother? I'll go round and see..."
"Whom?"
asked Vasya.
"The Artemyevs. I'll take your good wishes for the new year as well as mine."
"My dear fellow... Well, I'll stay here. And I see it's a good idea of yours. I shall be working here. I shan't waste my time. Wait 1 minute. I'll write a note. Yes, do, brother. There's plenty of time. I've still to wash and shave and to brush my best coat. Well, Vasya, we are going to be contented and happy. Embrace me, Vasya. Oh, if only we may, brother.
Does Mr. Shumkov live here?
They heard a child's voice on the stairs.
Yes, my dear, yes, said Mavra, showing the visitor in.
What's that? What is it? Cried Vasya, leaping up from the table and rushing to the entry.
Petinka? You?
Good morning. I have the honour to wish you a happy new year, Vasily Petrovich, said a pretty boy of 10 years old with curly black hair.
Sister sends you her love, and so does Mama, and Sister told me to give you a kiss for her.